So I have, as I mentioned, I have an advantage that not many other rabbis have, which is that my uncle is a movie producer. Paperclips, the Follow Me, the Yoni Netanyahu story, but more important than any of those other things that he does is that he makes the titles for my shiurim. So I called him, I told him what I wanted to do, and he came up with Going Old School, How Much Torah Did the Avos Really Know? So if you like the title, it's on him, but if you don't like the title, then it's really on him. So, I heard an unbelievable story. We're going to talk a little bit about the Avos and their relationship to the Torah, and how exactly we are supposed to relate to that, and really will help us understand many of these parshios which are coming up. And there's a story of a bar mitzvah boy. And this bar mitzvah boy, for his bar mitzvah, he wanted to prepare the ultimate pshat, the pshetel, whatever they call it. He wanted to make sure he had the ultimate drusha for his bar mitzvah. And he wanted to really tie it back down to his roots, figure out where he comes from, what kind of people are we? So he goes over to his mother and he says, Mom, help me out. I want to know, where do we come from? Where do we come from? We come from greatness. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. We come from unbelievable people. We are a people with an amazing history. So this boy went to his father. His father was an enlightened professor in Columbia. Went over to his father and said, Dad, where do we come from? So he turns and he says, well, you know, we started out as apes. And then eventually we evolved into human beings. And there was Darwin's theory of evolution, and that's how we came to be today. And this boy just wants to put together a good pshat, a good drusha for his bar mitzvah. He's so confused. He goes over to his mom and he says, I don't understand, Mom. I asked you, you told me we come from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And I asked Dad, he told me that we come from apes. What's going on? And his mom turned to him and said, No, don't worry, it's not a problem. I was talking about my side of the family. He was talking about his side of the family. Not as dear. But when we do think about where we come from, we generally think to our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And it's a very interesting question. When we discuss, who was the first Jewish person? Was it Adam and Chava? The first people to ever live? They obviously spoke to God face to face. Noach, Ish Tzadik, Tamim, Haya, B'dorosev. Okay, we spoke, maybe he wasn't that great, maybe he was. But he certainly had a relationship with God. Avraham, we know, was one spreading monotheism. Unbelievable. Avraham was the greatest Kirov organization to ever live. So was Avraham the first Jew? But we also know that being a Jew is a lot about our actions. And the Torah is really what starts everything. And we only received the Torah many hundreds of years later. So which one was it? Who's Jewish, who's not? What did our Avos even know? Did they even know anything about the mitzvos? What does it mean for them to be frum, for them to be Jewish? What was their relationship with God like? What kind of mitzvos did they keep? Were they chayiv in the same mitzvos that we were? I don't know. These are all questions that are extremely interesting to understand, and we'll see, maybe they're even important for us to understand. So there are many indications throughout Chazal that the Avos did, in fact, keep the mitzvos. You know, we have the pasuk in source number one. The pasuk in Parshas Toldos tells us, Ekev asher shoma Avraham bekoli vayishmor mishmarti, mishmarti, mitzvosai, v'chukosai, v'sorosai. Hashem says to Avraham, because you, Avraham, listen to my mishmarim, my mitzvos, my chukos, my toros, that's why I am going to bless you. So what does this mean? What are all these phrases that Avraham kept? Says the Gemara in source number two. The Gemara in Yuma on Daf Chaf Chesam Beis tells us, Amar Rav. Rav says, Kiyem Avraham Avinu Kol HaTorah Kula. Avraham Avinu kept the entire Torah. Shenemar, because our pasuk that we just read says, Ekev Asher Shama Avraham Bekoli V'Gomer. Amar Rav Shimi Bar Chia L'Rav. So Rav Shimi Bar Chia asks Rav, Ve'ema Sheva Mitzvos. How do we know that this is talking about all of the mitzvos that we have? Maybe it was just talking about these seven mitzvos B'nei Noach. We know that even Goyim are chayiv in seven mitzvos. What are the seven mitzvos? So there's a mnemonic to remember them. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Eiver Menachai, Birkas Hashem, Gezel, Dinim, and then the big three. We all know the big three are Shvichos Damim, Gilui Arayos, and Avodah Zarah. So those are the seven mitzvos B'nei Noach that everyone was chayiv in. So when we said that Avram fulfilled the mitzvos, maybe it was just talking about the seven mitzvos of Noach. How do we know that it was talking about the 613 that we deal with, that we interact with? So says the Gemara, Ha'ika Nami Mila. We are going to read in this week's Parsha that Avraham got a bris mila. If Avraham got a bris mila, that is not one of the seven mitzvos B'nei Noach, so clearly he had more than that. Ask the Gemara of Eima Sheva Mitzvos Umila. Okay, so maybe he had 7 plus 1. Maybe Mila was an exception, but really he did just have the 7 mitzvos b'nei Noach. Amar lei im kein mitzvosai v'sorosai lamali. So the Gemara has all the pasuk has a lot of phrases. It could have just said that Hashem kept, that Avram kept the mitzvos. Why did it have to go through all of these words, mitzvosai v'sorosai? Amar rav v'itema ravashi kiem Avram avinu afilu eruv tavshilin. Shenemar Torah si. Achas Torah shebaksav v'achas Torah shebalpeh. Torah Sai. Sorry. So says the Gemara that Avram Avinu kept everything, even Erev Tavshilin. Erev Tavshilin might not even be a din dirabanan. It might even be a takana. So says the Gemara that Avram Avinu kept all of the Torah, all of the dinei deoraisa, all of the dinei dirabanan, and even the takanos, even something like Erev Tavshilin. This seems to be explicit that Avram Avinu kept the entire Torah. And we find this in other places as well. We are going to read when Avraham brings food for the Malachim. Parshas Vayera, when he brings food for the Malachim, the pasuk in source number 3 tells us, Vayimaher Avraham Ha'ola El Sarah. Avraham runs to the tent to Sarah, Vayomer Mahari Shalosim Kemach Solet Lushi Va'aseu Gos. Go and bring me this food, Lushi Va'aseu Gos. And the Midrashim tell us that this was a specific type of food. This was matzah. Because it was on Pesach, so Avraham was not allowed to have chametz. So there were only certain types of food that Avraham was allowed to have. Again, we see Avraham dealing with chametz and matzah. That seems to mean that he interacted with the mitzvos in the same way that we did. Another proof, source number 4, when the entire trick between Yitzchak and Rivka is happening. So we know Yitzchak's about to give the bracha, to his son Esav, instead of Yaakov. How does that happen? We'll talk about it as it gets closer. Crazy how Yitzchak was about to do it. And Rivka overhears this idea. Rivka hears what's about to happen, and she says, quick, Yaakov, go dress up like Esav. Go and get me the food that your father Yitzchak likes. Says pasuk in source number 4, Lech na latzon v'kach li misham shnei gedayei izim tovim ve'aseh osam matamim la'avicha kasher ahev. Says the pasuk, Rivka tells Yaakov, go quick and get two of these goats, and I will prepare it in a way that your father likes, and he will then go and give you the brachos. Asks Rashi over there on that pasuk. Yitzchak was that big of an eater? He needed two goats? I mean, I could probably handle a full goat, but two goats? That's unbelievable. What did he need two goats for? Says Rashi. V'chi shnei gidiyei izim haya ma'achilo shel Yitzchak. Really, Yitzchak, I'm sure he could eat. You know, our avos knew how to eat, but two goats is pretty intense. So what's the answer? Elaha echad hikrivu v'pischo v'echad asa matamim. One of them was going to be brought as a Karban Pesach, and the other one was going to be for his enjoyment. Again, Yaakov, Yitzchak, Avraham, all of our avos seem to interact with the mitzvos in the same way that we do. Obviously, we don't have the karbanos. But chametz and matzah, the idea of Karban Pesach, even before the entire Torah was given, seems to be there for the avos. We then have the famous thing, my grandfather over here always likes to say that certain things were songs before they were psukim. So we know, Im Lavan Garti, Taryag Mitzvo Shamarti, when Yaakov is sending a message to Esav, that he was just with Lavan for all these years, and it was in such a bad environment. And he says, Im Lavan Garti, says Rashi in source number 7, Davar Acher Garti Begematria Taryag. Garti and Taryag are the same letters, they both have that 613 Gematria, which seems to show us that he, even though he was in such a horrible environment, still he kept all 613 mitzvos. Again, showing us that Yaakov kept the mitzvos. And we all know the famous Midrashim, which talk about Yitzchak and Yaakov, when they kind of disappear for a little bit. After Akedas Yitzchak, when Sarah goes and passes away, Yitzchak kind of just vanishes. He's not in the story anywhere. Where did he go? The Midrash tells us that he went to? Okay, could be. Maybe it's a different version of Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. He went to Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. Very nice that he went to Yeshiva. But what was he doing in Yeshiva? We talk about people wasting their time. What was he doing in Yeshiva? I'm just kidding. It's a very important thing we should do. What was he learning? He didn't have all the svarim that we have here in the Gluck-based Medrash. What was he doing? What was he learning? So that's an interesting question. Something I want to touch on at the end. What exactly was this focus? We saw Yaakov also. 14 years, he didn't sleep in the entire base Medrash. What was he doing all day and all night? We're going to get back to that. We will talk about it. So far, everything we have seen points to the fact that all of the avos kept the mitzvos. They all had the same mitzvos that we have. And yeah, it's true the Torah wasn't given, but they figured out a way to keep all the mitzvos. That's what they had to do. That's what they did. But there are certain stories that come up throughout Bereishis and more that seem to throw everything out of whack. They seem to mess everything up. They seem to show that the Avos didn't really care about the mitzvos, because otherwise, how would they be able to act in a certain way? We know that Yaakov Avinu, who were his wives?
Sisters.
Right? Obviously, he wouldn't have liked it to go down that way. He didn't want that to happen. He wanted to just marry Rachel. He married Leah, and then he married Rachel. Some want to even say that Bilhah and Zilpah were half-sisters. How could Yaakov Avinu, this is the question that most of the Mefarshim deal with, how could Yaakov Avinu have married sisters if he was really chayv in the mitzvos? If he really kept the entire Torah, as we've just proved, that the Avos had the mitzvos, the Avos had the Torah, how could Yaakov Avinu have married sisters? They also ask this about Amram and Yocheved, Moshe Rabbeinu's parents, the greatest human being that has ever seen the face of this earth. Yet, his parents were from an illegal relationship according to the Torah. The Torah says that an aunt and a nephew, in when it's done in that way, is not allowed. That was Amram and Yocheved. Moshe Rabbeinu comes from there. What's going on? We just said that they had the mitzvos, they had the Torah. Again, how exactly? We're going to have to discuss that. True Matan Torah didn't happen yet. But they had the mitzvos, they were keeping Karban Pesach. Avram Avinu was keeping Erev Tavshilin. And Yaakov is going and marrying sisters. What is going on? And lest we think that this had no impact on anything, there is an unbelievable Gemara in source number 8. The Gemara in source number 8 has this discussion that many people have in many different contexts of life. I've heard it a lot in sports. It happens in, I'm sure, academia. Happens everywhere. How would different people in different eras fare? I guess in sports, it's if this person was, if Babe Ruth played nowadays, how would he do? Would he even be considered one of the greatest players of all time? I don't know. If Michael Jordan played in this in the 50s, how would he have been? That all comes up with sports. I'm sure it comes up in many, many areas. The Gemara has a story that at the end of time, there's a big Suda. We're celebrating the fact that the Jews were the chosen people. The Jews had this Geula, and there's a big Suda. So what's the big question? What does everyone want to see? Who's going to lead the benching in the end? This is going to be a great way to tell who was really the greatest. Now, are they going to start with Moshe? Are they going to start with Rav Yashuv? How's it going to be? Maybe the challenges in one generation weren't like the other. We know we're always talking about different generations and how things were, how things are, how things could have been. So what's going to happen in this Gemara? Says the Gemara in source number 8. My dixiv, Vayigdal hayeled, Vayigamel. Asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu aso su'uda la tzadikim biyom sheyigamel chasto lizaro shel Yitzhak. There's going to be a suda when Hashem does a tremendous chesed for the children of Yitzhak. La'achar she'ochlim v'shosin, nosnin lo la'avram avinu. Avram gets first crack. Okay, that's pretty indicative. Avram was a pretty good guy. Avram gets first crack. So nosnin lo la'avram avinu, koshal bracha levarech, ve'omer lahen, Avram says, eini mevarech. No, I can't do it. Why? She'yotza mimeni Yishmael. I can't be the one to lead the benching because I created the Yishmael. Look what I created for the world. I can't be the one to lead the benching. I did not have the perfect life. So who's next? Omer lo liyitzlak. Tolu varech. Go and lead the benching. Omer lohen. Eini mevarech sheyotze mimeni Esav. Yitzlak then turns it down. Why? Because I had an Esav. I can't be the one to lead the benching. Omer lo liyakov. Tolu varech. Go and lead the benching for Yaakov. Omer lohem, says Yaakov. Eini mevarech. Why? I can't be the one to lead. Because I married sisters. And what does the Gemara say next? Asida Torah lo shranalai. Because in the future, the Torah is going to make this usher. So I don't know. You could read that both ways. You could say that right now it's not usher, but it will be. Or it could be that he did violate something by doing it. But we see that it clearly had an impact on him, that it was something that maybe should not have been done. Maybe I shouldn't say that. It was something that raised an eyebrow, let's say. It was something that did have an impact. So I don't know. How exactly we do see that, this is a question that has to be dealt with. If they did have the mitzvos, they did have all of the Torah, how could he have married these sisters? So, as a side point, who did end up benching? Let's keep going to the Gemara. Omer lo le Moshe. Moshe comes after Yaakov. And he says, Tolu Varech Hashem says, Omer Lahen says, Moshe, I can't do it. Eini Mevarech, why? Shelo Zachisi Likanis La'Eret Yisrael, Lo Bechaye, Lo Bemosi. I never went into Eretz Yisrael. I can't be the one to lead the benching. Fascinating. Omer lo Yoshua. Yoshua comes next. Tol Avarech Omer Lahen. Eini Mevarech. I can't. Shelo Zachisi Laben. I never had a son, so I can't be the one to lead the benching. Finally, we get to the person who is going to lead the benching on the back of the source sheets. Omer lo LeDavid. Come to David. Tol Avarech Omer Lahen. Ani Avarech. Okay, yeah, I'll do it. No problem. V'li Noel Levarech. And sure, I will do it, as the Pasuk in Tehillim says. Kos Yeshua Seso V'Shem Hashem Ekra. It works out perfectly. I will be the one to bench. Fascinating. David HaMelech also had some questionable things happening in his life. David and Bathsheba, where he came from, even, came from Rus, Ammon and Moab. Fascinating that David HaMelech is the one that was chosen and that he was able to accept. Another point, maybe we'll discuss it another time, is we know that Mashiach ultimately is going to come from David. And David, again, this questionable life. And Yehuda and Tamar, also questionable, but that's Dafka where Mashiach has to come from. We'll talk about that in another context. But fascinating that David is the one who is going to lead the benching in this meal of the All-Stars, this ultimate All-Star game, and David HaMelech is going to be the MVP, so to speak. So again, let's just review what we have discussed so far. We started out with the different types of families, dynamics, that there could be different families from the mother's side and the father's side. That was the joke. The second thing we discussed was how it does seem from many areas in Shas and Torah that the Avos did keep the mitzvos. It seems Avram Avinu, that Gemara and Yuma tells us that Avram Avinu kept everything, even Erev Tavshilin. And we know that Im Lavangarti Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti. And we know that Yitzchak didn't just eat a lot of goats. There was the Pesach, it was the Karban Pesach. So it does seem that the Avos did keep the Torah, but on the other hand, Yaakov married two sisters. And Amram and Yocheved were married, and Yehuda and Tamar. And there are questions which come up over and over, which seem to beg the question, if they did in fact keep the Torah, how could they have acted this way? And I want to suggest four approaches as to how we can possibly answer this question. Approach number one is source number nine. Source number nine is the Ramah. The Ramah was Rav Moshe Isserles, and we know him best as the Ramah on Shulchan Aruch. The ultimate unav, what he did in his life, he worked his entire life to create a Shulchan Aruch. And when he saw that the Beis Yosef did the same thing, he quit his life's work to go and be a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, so that way we can have Achdus and Chal Yisrael. Unbelievable, right? That's true anivas if you've ever heard it before. That is the Ramah, but the Ramah also had another sefer. He had the Shut HaRamah, the Shilos and Tshuvos. So in his Shilos and Tshuvos, he discusses this question. We won't read everything just for time purposes. Well, maybe we'll read the bolded part. So what he says is that he asks our question. How could it be that it does seem that they kept the mitzvos? Maybe they didn't keep the mitzvos. So which one is it? Says the Ramah in the bolded part of source number 9. Mikol makom nuchal lomar imhu shamar anshei beiso lo shamru rak hachok hanimusi hanimsar lahem. Dahainu zayin mitzvos b'nei noach. There's a difference between Avraham and everyone else. Avraham is the one that the Pasuk was talking about. Ekev Asher Shama Bekoli. That was talking about Avraham. That was not talking about everyone else. So Avraham, yeah, he kept all of the mitzvos, but everyone else, they just kept the Sheva mitzvos B'nei Noach, which is already a very nice level, a very nice thing that they did, but they weren't on the level of Avraham. Maybe that's why Avraham was the first one to bench. I don't know. But Avraham the one who kept the mitzvos, and the other ones, they kept the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, but not at the same level as Avram Avinu. Now, this answers our question, because Yaakov didn't violate anything according to the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. He just... What?
Married two sisters.
Oh, very good. So that's a good question. You hear the question? He's asking. He married two sisters. I just said that the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, one of them is Gilui Arayos. So what's going on? So no, they want to say that the Isser over there is that it's Kiddushin that's no good. Kiddushin is not part of the Gilui Arayos one. Gilui Arayos is a specific type of thing. And others want to answer in a similar way, that Gilui Arayos might be certain types of Gilui Arayos. This would not fall under that category. It's an excellent question. I was thinking the same thing.
But by Abraham, it says,
so that's talking about the Zion Mitzvos. That's what they say. That he was... Exactly, yeah. So it was saying that he kept everything, and then he spread the word of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. He spread monotheism, that's Birchas Hashem. You're not allowed to have, well, Avodah Zarah also. You're not allowed to have anyone else. So that all that he was doing, he was really preaching part of the Sheva Mitzvos. For himself, he kept all 613. But he didn't impose that on anyone else. That's the first answer. That's the answer of the Ramah. That's how the Ramah is able to answer this question. Second answer, source number 10, the Ramban. The Ramban has a fascinating approach. He first starts out by answering how we all know that they were able to know the Torah. How do they know about Pesach? It didn't happen yet. How do they know about any of this stuff? Nothing even happened. What did they learn in Chaim Ve'Aver? Ruach HaKodesh. They have Ruach HaKodesh. They talk to God. That's why they lead the benching. They were able to know through Ruach HaKodesh everything that's going to happen. So they were learning the Ketzos. They were learning the Gemaras. They were learning everything. They knew it through Ruach HaKodesh. But then says the Ramban, an unbelievable Yesod. Says the Ramban that the Avos only kept the mitzvos, and it really applied to all of them. They knew through Ruach HaKodesh, and they all kept the mitzvos. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, everyone. But they only did it in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they kept all the mitzvos, but outside they didn't. Yaakov got married outside of Eretz Yisrael, and once he entered into Eretz Yisrael, that's why Rachel had to die. Once they were getting closer to settling in Eretz Yisrael, Rachel had to die as they were entering in. That's why he was not able to be married to two sisters inside of Eretz Yisrael. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, okay, he was what it was. But once he entered into Eretz Yisrael, he couldn't have that. That's why Rachel had to die. The Ramban, interesting, we'll just read the bolded part again, just to see it inside. So he brings up, he starts out by bringing many times, which seem to be issues for all of the actions of the Avos. Imkein, Eich, Hikim, Yaakov, Matseva. Yaakov made a Matseva, Venasa, Shtei, Achayos, and he married sisters. How can they do all of these things? And look at the bolded part. He says, "Ushmiraso osa haya be'eretz bilvad." Be'eretz bilvad. It was only in Eretz Yisrael. V'Yaakov b'chutz la'aretz nasa achayos. Yaakov was outside of Eretz Yisrael when he married the sisters, and only once he was married did he go in. And ultimately, that's why Rachel had to die. And this can answer all of the questions. Amram and Yocheved, also outside of Eretz Yisrael. Everyone who violated anything was outside of Eretz Yisrael. Why couldn't Leah die? So that's... Could be. And that's also not part of our cheshbonos. We're not able to decide that. True. But we're that's not for us to decide. Okay. Oh, as he couldn't be married to two, but that's decree, kachava, that's what happened. He was not able to be married to both. So that is the second answer. That is the answer of the Ramban. The third answer. Third answer comes from the Nefesh HaChaim. And the Nefesh HaChaim has an unbelievable idea.
The answer to that, we married Leah first, and there was no problem then.
That's true also.
Ruffle, that's where the problem came.
So it's an interesting point, because...
It should have been Ruffle, though, with this
one. No, well, that's true, and so is that. But the point, it's interesting. Let's say then Leah died. Would it have been married Be'isser to Rachel? So you're right, the Tfisas Kedushin was Be'isser, but that was outside of Eretz Yisrael. So does it take a new shame? It's true, that's probably the correct answer. That the first marriage was fine. That could have, okay. I mean, again, there are ways we can go by how we knew which one should die. The shot answer is probably that Leah was married first, which was Beheter. So that's why Rachel, who came after, had to die. That's probably the answer. But there are ways we can dance around that and be a little fancy. But I definitely hear what you're saying. That was the second answer of the Ramban.
What was the first answer?
First answer was the Ramah, which just Avraham kept the mitzvos.
Yeah.
Only Avraham. That's why Yaakov could marry sisters, because that's not one of the violations of the Shavuot Mitzvot B'nei Noach. But Avraham wouldn't have done that, because Avraham kept all of the Torah. Second answer was the Ramban.
Right.
Second answer was the Ramban. There's a distinction between Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael.
Is there enough meaning to the fact that the Ramban says that
Very good. That's what we're going to talk about right now. So the Ramban already mentions it, and the Nefesh HaChaim takes it five steps further. Excellent. I was like intentionally skipping it. Very nice job reading it. That's why I didn't read it. That's good. But I should be honest. That's good. So the Nefesh HaChaim, in his first chapter, talks about a lot of different topics. Number one, he says, when we do mitzvos in this world, we do not know the impact of these mitzvos. It impacts much more than just us. It impacts more than just our families. It impacts the entire world. When we are able to get out of bed in the morning to go to shacharis, or we are able to overcome something which is difficult for us in order to serve God, we should not think that this just impacts us or our families. It impacts everyone and everything. Idea number one. Number two, there's a difference between someone who is mitzuve vioseh, someone who is commanded and does, and someone who is she'eno mitzuve vi'oseh, and someone who is not commanded and does something. So we know there is an idea of Gadol HaMitzuve V'Yoseh, Yoser Mimi She'eno Mitzuve V'Yoseh. It is better to be commanded and do something than to not be commanded and do something. It's contrary to what we might think sometimes, because we might think, oh, if I did it without even being asked, that's probably better. That might be true sometimes. But in halacha, it's better to be asked. How do we know this? We've spoken about this many times in shul so far. The Gemara in Kiddushin, the Gemara in Kiddushin Adaf Lam and Aleph, tells the story of Rav Yosef. And Rav Yosef used to celebrate when he heard that blind people are putter and mitzvos. Because he thought, oh, look at me. I'm putter and mitzvos, but I'm doing them anyway. That's amazing. This is awesome. But then he heard the shita of Gadol HaMitzuve V'Yoseh, Yoser Mimisha Eino Mitzuve V'Yoseh. And then he started celebrating when he heard the shita that blind people are chayiv in mitzvos. And the amazing Tosos over there, I don't want to get too much into it because it's not our topic, but we've spoken about this in shul a few times. The Tosos says, from the fact that he was happy when he wasn't chayiv and still doing the mitzvos, shows that he was doing the mitzvos in the best way possible, which means that even though he wasn't chayiv, he was still making brachos. What's a similar situation to that? Women. There are a lot of times that women are putter and things, but they are still allowed to make brachos, and that's the way we paskin nowadays. Tosfos is Ashkenazic, that's the way the Rama holds. That's why women are allowed to make brachos on the sukkah, on the lulav. Even though they're not necessarily chayiv, they still can make brachos. That's what we Ashkenazim do. Svardim, the Rambam, says absolutely not. If they're not chayiv in mitzvos, then they can't make a bracha. We say in the bracha, Asher kedishanu b'mitzvosa vitzivanu, that you were commanded. If you're not commanded, you can't make the bracha. So that's actually a machlokas nowadays between Tosos and the Rambam, and Tosos is Ashkenazic, Rambam is Sephardic. Ashkenazim and Sephardim today have that machlokas. Fascinating that it all came from a story about Gadol HaMitzuve V'Yoseh with a blind person. Unbelievable. Okay, not our topic for right now, but there is a concept of Mitzuve V'Yoseh versus Eino Mitzuve V'Yoseh. So Gadol HaMitzuve V'Yoseh means that it's better to be commanded and do things. Why does that exist? So Tosos already says maybe it's because you're more detail-oriented when someone tells you to do something. Maybe it's because psychologically it's harder to do something when you're told to do it. Right, if your wife tells you to take out the garbage, it's harder to do it than if you notice it on your own. Just is. Psychological point. But what is the advantage of being an Eino Mitzuve V'Yoseh? I don't know advantage, but it comes with the territory, which is that there are times that you are able to choose, maybe you shouldn't, maybe you don't want to do that one. You don't have to do everything because you aren't really commanded to do it. If you do it, it's only a positive, but there's no negative by not doing it. Right? That's the advantage of an Eino Mitzuve V'Yoseh. So with those 2 points, number one is that our actions have a tremendous impact on the world. And number two is that Eino Mitzuve V'Yoseh means that you don't always have to do everything. Says the Nefesh HaChaim, that the Avos and everyone before the Torah, our Gedolim, the ones who were offered to lead the benching, they had tremendous amount of Ruach HaKodesh. They knew exactly how things are going to fall into place. They knew all of Torah, but they also knew that there are certain things that they have to do that might go against the Torah. 99% of the time, in order to have the world function as it should, the way it would work is by keeping the Torah, by keeping the mitzvos. That's true, and that's the way it was 99% of the time. But there were a few things that they saw in Ruach HaKodesh that they needed to violate in order for the world to play out the way it should. Yaakov saw that he needed to marry these two sisters in order to create the 12 Shvatim, in order to create Klal Yisrael. Doesn't mean that he didn't keep the mitzvos. He was an Eino Mitzuve V'Yoseh. He didn't have to do it, so he chose not to do it at that time because in his Ruach HaKodesh, again, what exactly this means, I can't really tell you, but he saw in his Ruach HaKodesh that he needed to not keep that mitzvah. He had a bigger picture approach when it came to this. That's for someone like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to do, not for us to do. We have to keep the mitzvos and keep halacha. But Yaakov, in his bigger picture approach, in seeing the world as it should be and as what needs to happen, he realized that this is one he's not supposed to keep. Amram and Yocheved, the same thing. They realized, we are going to have the next leader of the people. Miriam maybe convinced them, maybe another time. But they saw in their Ruach HaKodesh that they needed to do it, and that's because they were an Eino Mitzuve V'Yoseh. So yeah, they kept the mitzvos. Yeah, they kept Karban Pesach. Yeah, Avram kept even Erev Tavshilin because he had Ruach HaKodesh. He knew all about it. But Yaakov was able to marry two sisters because he was an Eino Mitzuve V'Yoseh. And says the Brisker Rav, this can help us explain something that's very strange. Rivka has twins in her stomach, and they're kicking. Right? Rashi tells us when she walks by a Beis Avodah Zarah, it's kicking one way, a Beis Medrash another way. She's in pain, and she says, "Im kain lama se anochi? If so, why am I even here? I don't want this. Make it stop." And this is very troubling because we know in Navi, Yeshaya, the great Navi Yeshaya, there's King Chizkiah. And Chizkiah decided not to have any children. And Yeshaya was blasting him for this. And he said, "Why are you not having any more children? What are you doing?" And says Chizkiah, "Okay, I'll tell you the truth. It's not because they're difficult. It's not because I don't want to change any diapers. The reason I am not having any children is because I saw in Ruach HaKodesh that my children are going to be tremendously evil. So I don't want to bring that to the world." So Yeshaya says, like, it's very nice and thoughtful, but that's not for you to worry about. You do your part, God will figure out what he wants to do. That is not on you to figure out. You have to do the mitzvos, end of discussion. So what kind of impain lama ze anochi is this of Rivka? What's she saying? If so, why am I even doing it? What do you mean, why are you doing this? You're doing this because you need to do it. There's a mitzvah of Pru Revu. What are you doing? So the Brisker Rav explained that Pru Revu, believe it or not, is really a mitzvah for the man. We'll talk about that another time also. Why is it not a mitzvah for the woman? Maybe because there can't be a mitzvah with so much pain. A lot of explanations as to why that is. The women are obviously an essential part to it. But it's really, I guess, a mitzvah for the man. So Rivka was talking as an eno mitzvah viyose. She wasn't even really commanded in this. She's saying, "I'm not even commanded in this. All this pain, I don't need this. Leave me alone." So that might be the pshat. And imkein lama ze anochi. At first glance, it seems wild. What a wild statement for one of our imos to make. Now the Brisker Rav says she's an eno mitzvah viyose. And she didn't have to do this. So why should I have to go through all this pain? Fascinating. But that's the third idea, that our actions impact the world. They were an eno mitzvah viyose. And in their Ruach HaKodesh, they were able to see that there were certain things that they should and should not do. Yaakov Avinu saw that in order for us to continue as a people, in order for our people to continue to exist, he needed to marry these two sisters. That is the third idea. Now, the fourth and final idea for right now is the answer of the Maharal. The Maharal says, not on the source sheet, but says the Maharal, there is a difference between mitzvos aseh and mitzvos los aseh. So yeah, they kept Karban Pesach, they kept Erev Tavshil, and they kept all the positive mitzvos, but they didn't necessarily stay away from the other mitzvos. They didn't stay away from the los aseh. They didn't stay away from the things that we are supposed to stay away from. Why? So he actually explains it pretty logically. He says, let's take something like kosher, right? If God didn't tell us to not eat kosher, to eat only kosher, and to stay away from non-kosher, then staying away from non-kosher on our own isn't really anything special. Staying away from things is only good once we're told to stay away from them. Obviously, things which are inherently bad, but many of our mitzvos, you know, many of our los aseis, you could say, okay, God's just telling, we're doing it because God told us not to, but if we're just doing it, not doing it on our own, for no other reason than we just don't feel like it or something like that, that's not such a mila. The mila is that God told us not to do it, even though it's tough for us, we're not going to do it. And that's what really the pshat was, and that's why the avos, so yeah, they kept Karban Pesach, they kept Erev Tavshilin, they kept Taryag Mitzvos of the mitzvos aseh. Good question. So what's Taryag Mitzvos Shamarti? Okay, I don't know. Excellent question. But they didn't keep the los aseis. That's how Yaakov was allowed to marry these two women, and that's how Amram and Yocheved, that's how everything was able to go. So let's just review again what we have done. We started by pointing to all the Ma'amari Chazal, which seemed to clearly imply that the Avos did keep the Torah. Karban Pesach, Erev Tavshilin, Taryag Mitzvos Shamarti. So many ideas that seem to show very clearly that they did keep the Torah, but we know that Yaakov married sisters. And we know that Amram and Yocheved wasn't really allowed. Tamar and Yehuda not really allowed. What's going on? So we had a bunch of approaches to answer this question. We also spoke about the Gemara, which discussed who would lead the benching at the end of days and how Yaakov was disqualified for this action, which in the future was going to be Usser. We weren't exactly sure what that meant. Does that mean that it was Usser now for him too, and it's only going to be explicitly Usser later? Or is it even Usser, or is it only Usser later and not necessarily now? But either way, it disqualified him from leading the benching in the All-Star game. So we do see it had an impact. So what's the answer? So we had four approaches. Number one was the Ramah. The Ramah in the Tshuva said, no, only Avraham kept all the mitzvos, but everyone else, they just kept the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach. Number two was the Ramban, that there's a distinction between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz. In Eretz Yisrael, they all kept the mitzvos, but in Chutz Laaretz, not necessarily. Number three was the Nefesh HaChaim, that our actions have a tremendous impact on the entire world. And number two, there's a difference between Mitzvah V'yoseh and Eino Mitzvah V'yoseh, which the Ramban himself alluded to. and the Avos saw in their Ruach HaKodesh there were certain things that they needed to do or not do that would allow the world to continue to exist. Yaakov saw he needed to marry these two sisters in order for the Jewish people to exist. And Baruch Hashem, he did. That was Yaakov Avinu. That was the Nefesh HaChaim. And the fourth answer was the Maharal, who had a distinction between the mitzvot aseh and the mitzvot lo aseh. They kept all the positive commandments, but the negative ones, they didn't necessarily keep. Obviously, the Shavu Mitzvot B'nei Noach, they did. But they didn't keep the mitzvot lo aseh, because staying away from things is only valuable if someone tells you to stay away from them. Yeah, what did you say?
I think you mentioned before that one of the things, the situation for the creation of Shvatim, was Yaakov had to marry two sisters in order to build up the 12 Shvatim.
Okay.
Actually, those two sisters built up 8 Shvatim.
Ah, so the same thing with Bilhah and Zilpah, because some want to say they're even half sisters too. So he saw that he needed to be involved with all of these in the situation that he was to build up the people that he was.
So the 4 children from Zilpah and Bilhah.
Yeah, they're all part. Yeah, yeah.
Because they made it.
Exactly, exactly. Very good.
If you don't have an iser of cooking on Yom Kippur Chol or whatever, you don't need an Arab Dabshilim.
Oh, so why did he keep it? Oh, so maybe he wasn't assuming like that answer. He was assuming like the Rama. But now that you mention that, which is a good point, where let's assume like the Rama, and it seems from everyone that Avraham Avinu kept all the mitzvos. We are going to read at the end of this week's Parsha that Avraham waits until the age of 99 to get a bris milah. Why did he wait so long? If he knew about the mitzvah of bris milah, he knew about everything, why did he wait until he was commanded? So one answer some want to say is Gadol HaMitzuvah V'yosa Yosa Mimishena Mitzuvah V'yosa. We explain that it's better to be commanded to do something. So generally, if I want to give tzedakah, so yes, Gadol HaMitzuvah V'yosa, you wait till someone asks you, or you wait till there's a mitzvah. So that's very nice. So you do it then, and you could do it even when someone doesn't ask you. You can keep doing it. There's no need to stop. But bris milah, you hope, is only once. So since that's only once, he wanted to make sure to do that in the best way possible. So we wanted to be a Mitzuvah V'yosa for that. So we waited for Hashem to command him to do that. Others I saw wanted to say that a bris milah is our treaty. It's our bris to become Jewish, and we need two parties for that. So if he just went on his own, that wouldn't have accomplished the goal. That's why he needed to wait for Hashem to tell him to do that. Now, we discussed in the beginning, were they Jewish or not? Was anyone before Matan Torah even considered Jewish or not? And there's many Achronim who have a whole debate. They go through all the sources to show whether they were or they were not Jewish. Some want to say, based on Gadol HaMitzuveh V'yoseh, that they were a mitzuveh, that they were commanded, shows that they really were Jewish. Okay, others want to refute that in many ways. Rav Yosef Engel and many other Achronim have an entire machlokes about whether they were Jewish or not, but I saw a beautiful understanding from the Parshas Drachim. I forgot who it actually was. But the Sefer Parshas Drachim says, this may help us explain a fascinating machlokes. We know, if we look at source number 11, Yosef HaTzadik was the ultimate snitch. Right? He goes and he tells on his brothers. Ela told us Yaakov Yosef ben Shvastri Shana Yoro Esachav Batzon. Talking about Yaakov and Yosef. Who nar, he was a nar, Espenei Bilav, Espenei Zilpa, Neshe Aviv. Vayaveh Yosef es dibasam ra'el avihem. He went and he told Yaakov all of the bad things that his brothers were doing. He was always telling on them. That's why they didn't like him. Eventually they sold him. But Yosef was always telling on them. Now Rashi says, what was he telling on them? What were they doing? Rashi says they were doing Aver Min HaChai. Now let me ask you a question. These Shvatim, we assume they were all Tzadikim. They're the pillars of our entire religion. They are unbelievable. So true, they sold Yosef. Mistake. And there's justifications, whatever it is. But Aver Min HaChai, that's one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Everyone seemed to agree they needed to keep those. So they would just explicitly do Aver Min HaChai? It doesn't make any sense. I never understood that. These are Tzadikim we're talking about. They were just joking around doing Aver Min HaChai when no one was watching. What's going on? So says the Parshas Drachim, no, maybe this machlokes really goes back to the machlokes we were talking about. There's a din, that if you shecht an animal and it's still shaking, so if you're Jewish, then it would be a kosher animal, because once shechita happens, everything is kosher. But if you're a goy and it's still shaking, even though there's a shechita that happened, still it's considered Aver Min HaChai. So this was the machlokes between Yosef and the brothers. Yosef saw them as non-Jews, and since they were not Jewish, because we didn't have the Torah yet, he said, oh, it's Aver Min HaChai. But the brothers, they're like, what do you mean, Aver Min HaChai? We're keeping Karban Pesach, we're keeping kosher. I don't want to hear about you're not Jewish. I am Jewish. So they said, this is mutter. That's why I'm allowed to do it. So that's why to Yosef it was Aver Menachai, but to them it was not Aver Menachai. Fascinating. I was so excited when I saw that. Yeah.
Abraham, say he is not Jewish, could he then observe the whole Shabbos?
Very good question.
And if he did observe all of Shabbos, then that would be proof.
Excellent question. Excellent question. So it could. There are a lot of ways we can go and answer that. You hear the question? The question was: there's a din in the Gemara that says that a guy is not allowed to learn Torah. A guy is not allowed to keep all of Shabbos. So how was Avram able to do that? Excellent question. So they talk about that. You could say either he didn't really keep all the dinim, or he did, and he was an exception, even though he wasn't Jewish. He was so close to God. There are ways that they dance around the topic, but it's a very good question. Maybe they didn't have that Gemara. Maybe it was only a Gadata. Maybe we don't paskin that. There's a way, ways that it was discussed. That's an excellent question. So, again, just to review, we had the question, do they keep the Torah, do they not? We had our four approaches as to how we answered it. We then discussed, why did Avram wait for the bris? Why not go? And we had those two answers to that question. Number one, Gadol HaMitzvah V'Yosei, he wanted to make sure to do it right because this is a one-time mitzvah. And the second answer was that it's a bris. You need two parties for the mitzvah. We then discussed whether they were actually Jewish or not. Big machlokas in the Achronim, big machlokas in everyone. And we explained how this is perhaps the machlokas between Yosef and his brothers. They weren't actually doing Avram Menachai, or maybe they were. Depends on whether they were Jewish or not. I want to close by giving, you know, this is beyond the Parsha. This is where we apply the practical lessons to our lives. So far, this has all been really nice and cute and all, but what are we supposed to take home? And I thought of three ideas based on what we have seen. I saw a few of them also. Three ideas based on everything we've discussed that I think are great take-home messages. Number one, in the Emes LeYaakov, in source number 12, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky has an unbelievable idea. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is asking the question that everyone asked. How is it possible that Yaakov could marry two sisters? How could it be? Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, they were an eino mitzuve v'yoseh. They did not have to keep all of the mitzvos. But still, Yaakov Avinu, he wanted to keep the mitzvos. This was Yaakov Avinu we're talking about. Of course he'd want to keep the mitzvos. Unbelievable line from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Source number 12. V'chi beglal shelo yesh eizeh chumros shekibel alav. Lishmor es ha-Torah kodem shelo nitna mutter lo shelo lekayim es dvaro sheivtiach l'Rachel. We all know the story. Yaakov promised Rachel he's going to marry her. So says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, because he decided to take a chumra upon himself, that he's going to try to keep all the Torah, even though he wasn't chayiv to, he's going to go back on his word to Rachel. He's going to leave Rachel alone just because he took upon himself a chumra. V'chi hi tzricha lispo beglach chumra shehu kibel alav. Does she have to suffer because of the chumros that he took upon himself? And it's something which is extremely fundamental to all of us. We have to know what is halacha, what is chumra. Chumras are very nice to take upon ourselves. They really are. And when we take things upon ourselves, we have to be very careful. But we also have to know when it is creating a kula. Oftentimes when we take certain things upon ourselves, they are a kula in other areas. Someone who decides that they're going to do something which impacts others negatively. You have to be very careful. So chumras, you want to take something upon yourself, you want to learn more, it is wonderful. All for it, you should do it. But just be careful when you take something upon yourself that it does not come at the expense of someone else or at something else. Not taking out the garbage, right?
Learning now.
I'm not going to get into details and specifics, but maybe. I like to tell the story. They say the story of a certain Rav who was in shul one Motzei Shabbos, and there was a guy staying afterwards and saying all of the Tehillim afterwards. He was saying the whole entire thing for Tehillim, so the Rebbe goes over to him and says, what are you still doing here? And he says, they say saying Tehillim after Shabbos is a school for Shalom Bayis. And he says, you know what else is a school for Shalom Bayis? Maybe go home and help your wife clean up. That's also a school for Shalom Bayis. But the idea is that we can't take chumras upon ourselves that are going to impact ours. Now, that does not mean that we should not try to push ourselves. We should not try to go as hard as we can to take on as much as we can. That's not what it means. Don't think that I said we don't have to push, we don't have to do anything. That's not what that means, but we just have to be careful that it's not coming at the expense of other people. Second idea is the idea that they talk about from the Avos, that even though we don't necessarily learn halacha from the Avos, even Gid HaNoshe or Bris Milah, the poskim talk about how we just learn about the idea from the Avos, but we don't actually learn the actual din from the Avos. We learn that from the Torah. But what we do learn from the Avos is how we are supposed to act. Many call it the Shulchan Aruch HaMaisim, Shulchan Aruch how we're supposed to act. What was the language here? Shulchan Aruch HaMidos is what they call it. How exactly we're supposed to act. Vayashkem Avram Baboker. Avram is faced with the toughest test in the history of mankind. He has to go and sheft his son that he waited so long for. And how does he do it? Vayashkim Avram Baboker Zrizus. He's still excited to do the mitzvos. He's still so excited to be a part of fulfilling the will of Hashem. And that's something we have to take for ourselves. We can learn from the Avos, even though we don't learn actual halacha. We learn how to act, how not to act, how to treat others, how to treat God. We learned so many lessons from the Avos. It is the Shulchan Aruch Hamidos. That's what Sefer Bereishis is. Even though we don't learn any specific dinim, necessarily, still, it's the Shulchan Aruch Hamidos. That's what it's all about. And lastly, I just want to close with the question that was bothering us in the beginning of this year. What were they learning in Yeshivas Shem Ve'ever? Why is there such a focus of this on Chazal? So yeah, they had Ruach HaKodesh, they were able to know, so perhaps they were learning all of these Sfarim that are here. It could be. But I saw a beautiful explanation that this emphasis on Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever is not necessarily literal. It might be literal, but it's not necessarily literal. What it is trying to teach us is that we should not just think that the Avos were the Avos by themselves. They just were born and they were amazing. They were born and they were the greatest people ever. No, that's not what it was. They actually themselves had to work really hard to get to where they were. They had to work hard on their midos. They had to work hard on their relationship with God to get to the point where they were. We know Rav Huttner has this famous idea where he's very upset about a lot of the Gedolim books that come out nowadays, because they come out and they say, when this kid was 1 year old, he already finished Shas. And it's nice. A lot of these stories we should get chizik from, but a lot of times it gives us the opposite impression. It gives us like, okay, yeah, he was able to finish Shas at the age of 4 months, but what about me? Exactly. But what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to relate to this? So says the Sefer Bereishis, says the Midrashim, when they talk about Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever, no, we should not just think that the Avos became the Avos by accident. They had to work hard. They had to put in the time. 14 years without sleeping, it takes time to perfect yourself. It takes time to have the ultimate relationship with God that we would want. It takes time to become the people that we want to be. So we should remember, as we go through Sefer Bereishis, and it might seem that there are a lot of stories, and Shai Mikra might be more fun, which is true. And it might seem, okay, it's not so relevant. No, we have to remember, it's the Shulchan Aruch Hamidos. It's what teaches us our midos. It's what helps us get through all of our days, the daily interactions that we have with our peers, with God. It is to the Avos that we look for chizuk and guidance. And we should all remember that in Bizocha, to Egeula, B'mheira, B'yameinu, Amen. Amen.